The North Texas stories you need to know. This is the All Local from News Radio 1080 KRLD.
I'm Austin York, and this is the Afternoon All Local.
From South Texas, Boca Chica Beach, SpaceX running Starship on its sixth test flight, just launched from Brownsville. The president-elect came to Texas to watch everything with Elon Musk. Senator Ted Cruz is there as well. It went up just about 3 minutes ago.
Yeah, 50 seconds away. We should get confirmation if they take that hold on.
And that's good.
And the final shutdown.
Let's see.
And again, watch for that bottom of the rocket. That's where we will get the confirmation. Any second now.
And the whole thing with this is that this rocket blasts off into the atmosphere, and then it comes back to make a landing onto the same landing pad that it took off from. And they say this is so groundbreaking that this could be the future of space. Now, we talked to a congressman from Plano about this particular type of launch, and he says they want to fail forward. So the first launches way back a couple of years ago had, you know, blown up, and they said they learn from their mistakes.
Sure.
And this thing is up right now in the upper atmosphere with the president-elect watching it, and along with Elon Musk, and it's going to return back to the ground in a few moments.
And we had seen some success with those rockets returning back to their base, which was remarkable when it happened a couple weeks ago. So it'll be interesting to see how this particular launch goes.
Yep. Other news, the Board of Education gives preliminary approval for a new Bible-based curriculum for public school kids.
8 of the 15 members of the State Board of Education approving the new curriculum that incorporates Christian lessons from the Bible. Critics say it disproportionately focuses on Christianity, isolating non-Christian students. Jewish grandmother Barbara Baruch asking the board to vote against.
Please don't let the government direct my children and grandchildren away from their denomination.
Jonathan Covey of Texas Values believes the religious curriculum will survive the courts.
There is nothing the U.S. Supreme Court has laid down requiring equal time or equal treatment among religious sects.
The final vote is on Friday. In Austin, Chris Fox, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Well, it's called the School Marshal Program, and Carroll ISD is looking to possibly expand it.
In a meeting last night, the school board considered hiring armed staff to protect students when police officers aren't available. Superintendent Jeremy Glenn says they're happy with their current SRO program and wanted to make one thing very clear.
We are not proposing to arm current staff. We're specifically looking at hiring retired law enforcement or military to cover campuses in the event an SRO is unavailable.
School resource officers were unavailable 10 times so far this semester. So when that happens, the district contracts with an outside agency to provide security. But some parents spoke out against the expansion of the program.
My thoughts and prayers are that we don't go down an avenue where the only solution we're going to have is more guns.
No decision was made, and there's no clear timetable when the board could vote on such a plan. From the 24-hour news center, Austin York, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Kremlin says Ukraine has fired 6 American-supplied long-range missiles into Russia. Now, if that's true, that would be the first time since the war began that Ukraine has used those weapons inside Russian territory. In response, Russian President Vladimir Putin has formally lowered the threshold for using nuclear weapons.
Not good.
Can't be good. Let's bring in retired Army Colonel and CBS military analyst Jeff McCausland right now. Ukraine did this with the approval of the U.S. Is this kind of the outgoing administration's way of saying do what you can while you can?
I think to a degree that's true. And the Biden administration have taken a couple of steps since the election, frankly, to escalate, if you will, or improve support for Ukraine. They announced that American contractors and foreign contractors can actually now work on Ukrainian territory. That will facilitate the more rapid repair, maintenance of highly sophisticated military equipment we've provided them and get them back on the battlefield as quickly as possible. And then second of all, Mr. Blinken announced Secretary of State at a meeting at NATO headquarters that we would accelerate the military aid still authorized by Congress and try to get maximum amount of that delivered prior to Inauguration Day on 20 January. And now number three, of course, is announcement about the use of the so-called ATACMS missile against targets on Russian territory. That also is in response, though, by, frankly, escalation on the Russian side. We now think there are up to 12,000 North Korean soldiers in Russia preparing with Russian troops for a major counteroffensive in the area called the Kursk Salient territory the Ukrainians seized back in August. And some fear the Russians might expand their relationship to North Korea to up to 100,000 North Korean soldiers fighting alongside of Russia. So I think the Biden administration is responding to that to discourage that type of escalation, number one. Number two, providing maximum aid to Ukraine prior to leaving office and potentially perhaps putting Ukraine in the best position if, in fact, this particular war moves to negotiations, which it seems is likely once Mr. Trump comes into office.
Well, no, Putin has not been shy about talking about nuclear warfare and what he would do. Are we just take him a little bit more seriously this time with this threat?
You're right. He has made these kind of threats before and then not delivered on them. He hasn't really lowered the escalatory ladder as much as he's redefined it. What he said was that Russian doctrine for the use of nuclear weapons is based on the following thing. If Russia is attacked by another nuclear power, number one. If the Russian looks like it's in the point of collapse from a conventional attack, they would respond with nuclear weapons. And now he's added a sort of a third dimension, that is if Russia is attacked and its territory is attacked by a non-nuclear power supported by a nuclear power. And that clearly is what's going on here. But again, I think he's made these threats before. This is an effort to intimidate the West, intimidate the United States, discourage the Ukrainians. And also, don't forget, this is part and parcel of domestic consumption at home. The Ukrainians seized this territory around Kursk back in August. At that time, Putin came out and said, oh, we're going to push them out. We'll push them out immediately. Well, yeah, the Russians have regained some of that territory, but not even half of it. And now it's November. So there probably is growing pressure domestically in Russia to respond. And then last but not least, they make a huge deal about so-called Russian territory. But in fact, the United States, Ukraine has employed these weapons against Russian targets in Crimea for quite some time, which the Russians have said is now Russian territory. And the Duma actually voted to make Crimea part of Russian territory. So again, is this more serious? Perhaps somewhat. Has Mr. Putin made threats like this before and not responded? That's also true.
Jeff, what has this war done to Russia's economy? And is there some growing discontent inside of Russia because of that?
It's hard to measure the discontent, but it certainly has put more and more pressure on the Russian economy. We estimate right now, as Americans are concerned about things like interest rates. Well, interest rates in Russia right now are about 20%. We talk about our concern about inflation. Well, the accepted number in Russia is inflation is about 9%, probably higher. That's the number that they report. A higher level of defense spending. Russia went from about $85 billion a year in 2022 now to probably $145 billion for defense spending in 2025. And that means fewer resources for healthcare, roads, education, et cetera, all across the country. And then last but not least, the Russians are having an increasing difficulty, frankly, recruiting soldiers to go to Ukraine because they're losing 1,200 to 1,500 every single day, meaning that just to maintain your force levels, you got to recruit about 30,000 a month. And they've done that primarily in the eastern portion of Russia, in the Caucasus, Dagestan, Ingushetia, fewer from places like Moscow or Leningrad. And they're starting to run out of those particular numbers. Interesting point, Mr. Putin just reduced the payment that a Russian soldier gets if he is wounded or severely wounded in battle. He wants to reduce that number. He's reducing the payment to families if a guy is killed. Obviously, that's not going to help that problem. And then finally, of course, the Russians find themselves more and more dependent on Iran, North Korea for military technology, ammunition, and now even soldiers.
Jeff, thanks so much. It's great insight, as always. We appreciate the time. CBS military analyst Jeff McCausland with us here on KRLD. And all those things he's talking about, 9%, that's worse than we had it. 9% inflation? I mean,
you mentioned it.
People, they're only going to put up with that for so long.
I know
inside Russia.
Yeah, it's tougher in a communist state to express yourself and the discontent. But the economy and the numbers there, they don't lie. And if you can't support this, and he was talking about recruiting, this is going to be a generational effect on future generations. You're not going to have these young men there to take these jobs. And this is going to affect the country for years.
After the siege of Leningrad back in World War II. And
so that's
how you bring down a dictator. It happens from within.
Absolutely.
And the people in Russia, 20% interest? that's the going rate
and
right now?
If I get wounded, I can't get the same payment. You're going to lower that? You're not going to take care of my family?
So, be interesting. And what will Trump's first move be? Is he going to ask Ukraine to give up the land that Russia has already taken in return for a ceasefire? How's that going to fly in Ukraine?
There are lots of questions, but he's going to have a full plate, that's for sure.
Cowboys lost to the Texans last night, 34-10. On Monday Night Football, the sixth straight home game in which they have trailed by at least 20 points. That extends their NFL record. It already set the record, and now it's six in a row. Our Cowboys insider, Bobby Belt, is with us right now. Bobby, you know it's bad when Stephen A. Smith says he's feeling sorry for the Cowboys.
Yeah, that's not a good indicator of where the Cowboys are at right now. That would seem to tell us that things are not going very well. And you don't even need Stephen A. to see that, though. You can go ahead and just look up the box scores and take a look at it. And that's not even a very good Houston team right now that beat them last night. And Houston had a lot of issues and didn't play particularly overwhelming, and they still beat you by 24. And I think that speaks to just how rough things are for the Cowboys right now.
Not what you want to hear, but again, more injuries. We got three offensive linemen leaving the game, and then you got Jake Ferguson with a concussion. What are you hearing about those injuries and an update on them, I guess?
Ferguson's is apparently a pretty serious concussion. I mean, not serious in the sense of anything dire, but just that sounds like he might be out for a while. That's what Jerry indicated to us this morning on the Fan. And then the offensive lineman, they don't have a good update on that yet. I know Zach Martin's been banged up, and this issue yesterday was two injuries to both of his ankles. And so I would imagine that on a short week, it's going to be tough for Zach Martin to play. But we should have more details later today or tomorrow in terms of where those injuries are at.
If you look at the injuries, take into account all of the injuries they've had this year, the team that they are putting on the field right now, Austin and I were just discussing this. Is this the worst Cowboys team of our lifetime? I think back to that, I was around for 1989 when they went.
But they were young.
They were 1-15. I might go with that 89 team if they played this team.
This team on the field right now is pretty bad. 2020 was a bad team after Dak got hurt. Man, I might think that 2020 team was just a little bit worse. But see, they turned it around a little bit later and started playing a little bit more competitively. This is just. It's a bad football team. They have bad coaches, bad talent, bad execution, bad communication. It just all can be boiled down to bad, anything you want to talk about them. And so I think that, yeah, this is definitely a contender for being right up there as one of the worst.
Could you explain to me how they beat the Steelers?
No. I think it takes, prayer to our Lord or something. I have no idea. They outplayed them in terms of if you look at what they did in the box score, but they are a fourth down pass to Jalen Tolbert on the goal line away from that being a loss and them sitting currently at 2-8. But five losses in a row. They are still the only team this calendar year in North American professional sports, the four major sports leagues, they are the only team in professional sports this year not to win a game at home.
Wow. Yeah.
Let me ask you this, and I know that Jerry himself has been a little bit, I wouldn't say he's been his normal self this season. Are you worried about his ability? They're going to have to make some major changes. Do you think he has the ability to turn this thing around with the people around him? Should there be any hope for Cowboys fans for the next couple seasons?
Yeah, I mean, I think he can turn it around. I think he's just got to – I don't think the changes can stop at just Mike McCarthy. I mean, Mike McCarthy's not going to be back next year. His contract's running out. This season has gone incredibly poorly. I don't envision a scenario where McCarthy's back next year or many of the assistant coaches. But it just can't stop there. I would say that there needs to be other overhauls within his front office structure and people that he trusts and people that he leans on for insight. And so – I would say as long as he's making changes there, you can have some hope. But that just remains to be seen yet if he's willing to make changes there.
Good enough. Bobby, appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next week after what should be a really entertaining game against the Washington Commanders. We'll have that on
underdogs.
Monday. That's our Cowboys insider, Bobby Belt, with us here on KRLD. Yeah, 10.5-point underdogs the Cowboys are right now.
I still think this team. I remember 2020. That was a historically bad defense. Mike Nolan was the defensive coordinator on that. But I kind of give them a little bit of a pass because that was the COVID year. There wasn't anyone in the stands. Things were crazy. Mike McCarthy's first year. Dak got injured. This one, though, they've been bad since the beginning, and they had expectations that this was going to be an NFC East contender, playoff contender.
No. Nothing. Not even close.
The All Local is updated 3 times a day. For the latest news, weather, and traffic, listen to News Radio 1080 KRLD. Visit KRLD.com, download the Odyssey app, or ask your smart speaker to play News Radio 1080 KRLD.